Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily political podcast. I'm Lara Prendergast, and I'm now joined by James Forsyth and Katie Balls to discuss the Tory party's manifesto, which Theresa May has just unveiled. So James, was it a traditional Tory manifesto?
I think the thing that is perhaps most surprising about this isn't the individual policies in the document, but the statement about what conservatism is and what it believes, which is again a bit like Theresa May's first speech as party leader to a Tory conference, which was entitled "The Good Government Can Do," is an attempt to reposition the Tory parties. It says, you know, it has no truck with the cult of selfish individualism. It realises that individuals always owe more to others in terms of obligations than they have as rights themselves. That no one succeeds entirely on their own merits, and everyone relies on other people. I mean, this is an attempt to move the Tory party away from the kind of ideological certainties of, if not the Thatcher era, the post-Thatcher era in Tory thinking. And so I think you definitely see that attempt to kind of reposition the Tories, and also Theresa May's attempt to emphasise what she sees as her strongest themes in this election, which are this post-Brexit political moment. It's quite surprising to have a Prime Minister saying that the next few years are going to be tough and difficult, as she is saying, and that's why you need me. And again, also we saw this huge emphasis on Theresa May personally, which is, you know, she kept saying, you know, strengthen my hand. Every vote for me and my team strengthens my hand to fight for Britain, to do this, to do that. You know, so again, I think you see the Tories trying to play what they think are their trump cards in this election, which are Brexit and who do you want to be Prime Minister, negotiating to implement that new settlement, Theresa May or Jeremy Corbyn.
Katie, aside from Brexit, what were the other key policies today?
Well, I think we saw some of her pet projects, like selective schools were in there, so that's May bringing back grammars. And also, I think there's some stuff in terms of businesses that appeared to be her slight corporate crackdown, also business takeovers, and I think that's going to upset quite a lot of the normally very pro-conservative business community. I had one business source say, text me going, Reagan's "I'm from the government and I'm here to help" was intended as a warning, not a how-to guide for a future Tory government. And I think everyone's, that's not gone down a total storm. But then again, May seems to be reaching out to Labour voters here and people who are disaffected and the working classes. And probably in that sense, it was quite successful.
I think also one of the political calculations they've made is in lots of these places, these people with Jeremy Corbyn have nowhere else to go. So it's not like business is going to turn around and back Labour. This isn't Tony Blair's Labour Party. And again, pensions, you can say the triple lock turns into only a double lock, which is not quite as big a shift as it sounds. And the social care package, you know, taking away the winter fuel allowance from most pensioners. Those things, again, you know, the group most resistant to Jeremy Corbyn are the over 65s. So again, I don't see the Tories paying much of an electoral price for these policies, however much discontent they might cause amongst some traditional Tory constituencies.
Though it might stifle May mania slightly. Like, I still think she'll get the votes, but I think some people won't be so jubilant in doing it. It wasn't a feel-good manifesto in many ways. It was like a lecture from a parent when, you know, like, you know it's good for you, but it doesn't mean you're happy doing it.
The only people who might be quite delighted are journalists, because the second part of the Leveson has been scrapped, as well as Section 40. Is she just trying to butter us up, James?
No, I mean, this is, I think they were both bad bits of legislation. Section 40 is an appalling bit of legislation that I think, you know, the Spectator campaign very strongly against, because I think it's not really about journalism. It goes against kind of fundamental principles of British justice. I think on Leveson too, I think after, first of all, the first Leveson inquiry, and secondly, after all the court cases, I really struggled to see what would have been gained by Leveson Part 2. And I think the reason it's in the manifesto is to stop the House of Lords trying to stick it onto random bits of legislation. You know, once you put something in the manifesto, by convention, the House of Lords won't try and contradict you on it. So I think here you see her doing that, and by putting in black and white that Brexit means that the UK is leaving both the single market and the customs union. She again, and by putting in, as Katie said, grammar schools, she prevents any attempts by the Lords on those issues to block her.
Katie, what should we make of the deficit? They've pledged to eradicate it by the middle of the next decade. Are they just pushing this further down the road?
It'll just be like the never-ending story, the very bad Tory adaptation. I think, I mean, yeah, 2026. I mean, I don't think anyone really believes them anymore when they say they're going to eradicate the deficit, just because it changes and it always gets later. So I think everyone still probably believes that a Conservative government is the government that is most likely to eradicate the deficit. But I think, to be honest, a lot of us gave up a long time ago, like, you know, thinking that day was ending time near.
Yeah, I mean, it's Lord make me virtuous, but not yet. I mean, again, I think they don't, because of the nature of politics at the moment, they do not pay any political price for failing to hit these deficit targets. Because, you know, you might not think that the Tories are now particularly credible on the deficit, having shifted the time frame in which they would eliminate it so many times. But again, do you really think that John McDonnell is more credible than they are? No. And so therefore, where do you go if you are a fiscally conservative voter?
Especially when Labour, in terms of nationalisation plans this week, wouldn't even tell us where that money was coming from, or how much, even if it was from, you know, borrowing, how much they were going to borrow. So on the deficit, the Conservatives are very much on, like, you know, the strongest ground, even if it's not great.
Just finally, we should probably talk about the Lib Dem manifesto, which launched last night. Was there anything in there
for a while, James? Well, I think what is striking about the Lib Dem manifesto is how they are not getting any traction. At the start of this election campaign, I thought that this Lib Dem offer to basically be the vote for us to reverse Brexit, I didn't think it was going to sweep the country, but I thought it would be popular with that unreconciled part of the 48%. I thought we would see the Lib Dems polling at, you know, in the high towards the high teens, you know, taking a chunk out of a Labour vote on the grounds that Jeremy Corbyn whipped his MPs to vote for Article 50. And I thought you would see the Lib Dems having some success with this form of, you know, pro-EU identity politics, you know, to become the UKIP of Remain. And so far, all the signs are this just isn't working for them. There's a poll tonight in the Evening Standard that has them, I think, down at, Katie, you'll correct me if I get this wrong, down at, is it 7% or 8%? I think it's 7%. And what is odd is how this doesn't seem to be working. And I was just checking back in with people after having been off the last few days with Tories. And it's remarkable how unworried they are about seats. You know, I was running through places which at the beginning of a campaign there was a sense that, you know, these places were in danger. Remember, you know, there were 12 Tory MPs who faced the Lib Dems as their main opponents. He went to see Theresa May after she called the election in the House of Commons tea room, basically saying, kind of, what have you done to us? And it seems to be that in the vast majority of these cases, the Tories think that these MPs will now be okay. I mean, it is quite remarkable how badly this Lib Dem campaign is going for them.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Katie. And just a reminder that you can subscribe to this podcast on the iTunes store. It's called Coffee House Shots. And we've got a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for just £12, which includes full access to all of our websites and our apps at spectator.co.uk/election offer.